letter C in our study, there is no difference between us. So we see in this discourse and that Peter pointed out that God put no difference between the Gentiles and the Jews. People from both groups were saved by grace and both received the Holy Spirit. There is only one race, and that is the human race. Acts chapter 17, verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Every member of this common race is a sinner that needs to be saved. Amen. Okay, I'm going to move to letter B, that there, hang on for a second. I'm getting the reasoning of James. Letter A was God is calling a people for his name. Okay. And then we see letter B is, let me get to it. God is calling all men. God's desire, as we shared with last week, that God wants all men to be saved. I think it's 2 Peter 3:9 says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to all, not willing that any should perish. Do you need a point? Do you need us to back up a little bit? Under the reasoning of James, God is calling a people for his name. And then God is calling all men is where we're at. Okay. Acts chapter 15, verse 15 through 17. And to this agreed the words of the prophet, as it is written, after this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. See, salvation is not just for a select few or for one particular group of people. And God values every race and nationality and language of people. If he does, should not we? That would be the question. Letter C in our study is, God is calling us to trouble not others. Let me just say this. You got enough trouble. Amen. Then to messing with someone else's trouble. You know, some people just love controversy. Amen. I know a few preachers like that. Amen. I was thinking, man, why are they always stirring stuff up? I'm thinking, man, I got enough trouble without going looking for it. Amen. So getting back to the council in Acts 15, after hearing all sides of the issue, James concluded that the Jewish believers should not impose their personal practices on others. Acts chapter 15 and verse 19. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Let me just read a few things here. And I know it gets a little boring or whatever with the reading, but just bear with me on that, and I'll try to minimize it. Our heart should be for all people to be saved. To that end, we should boldly, consistently, and passionately share the truth of the gospel. But we should not add to the gospel requirements for people to conform to a specific culture or set of preferences in order to be saved. Furthermore, we should make a concerted effort to be gracious in how we share the truth. There will be those who try to silence us by claiming offense, and we must not be moved by that. But we should be loving to all people. It's okay if we are hated for our position, but we should not give a reason for an offense by what we believe. As the Jerusalem Council concluded, they sent messengers with a letter back to the church in Antioch to reassure the believers that that all were not just tolerated, but were welcomed into the fellowship. This message of graciousness was well received in the first century, as it is today with Christians who faithfully practice it. Acts chapter 15, verse 31, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. Now, I believe that we should be all welcoming as a church here. I really believe that we should, okay? We have on our door, everybody's welcome. But there is a caveat with that, okay? You're welcome here if you want to come here and be peaceful and hear the gospel. If you're coming here to stir up trouble, if you come up here to try to push your whatever point you have, that's not welcome. Amen? You know what I mean? We have to protect each other and protect our church, all right? And, you know, it's just the way it is, okay? It's just the way it is. It's a culture we live in, amen? I think everybody deserves to hear the gospel, amen? And that's what brings the conclusion of this. And you'd say, man, you're already to your conclusion. You should see how long my conclusion is. You can see in your outline we have, I think it's, and I promise you we'll be done with this. I think it was 7 points to our conclusion, but anyhow. Let me just read a little bit more, and then we'll get into the 7 biblical principles to responding to racism. Amen? And I'm telling you, I am just weary of this. It's a tragedy that we live in such a, the social upheaval we live in, and I believe because of the geopolitical and environment we live in causes a lot of this, but it's just crazy stuff, you know. It's just crazy stuff what's going on. So in conclusion, the Acts 15 account of this Jerusalem council is not just a record of what happened in the first century, but it's also worthy of application today. From this occurrence, we learn the importance of dealing with the problem of racism, and we learn how to do so. The principles that apply to racism and prejudice are not only in Acts 15, but they're all throughout Scripture. From the Word of God, we find guidelines for how we should address this contentious issue of this day. As we close the study, let us briefly highlight 7 biblical principles that apply to every Christian in every culture dealing with racism. They are outlined in your outline, correct? All right, I have to ask that because sometimes my notes don't coincide with that. Number 1, we're all one race. That's it, right? Red, brown, yellow, black, and white. We're all precious in his sight. Amen? Although social scientists and demographics use the word race to refer to different ethnicities and backgrounds, technically there's only one race. It's a human race. And I'll reiterate what I read in Acts 17, 26, and hath made one blood of all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth and to determine the times before appointed and bound their habitation. No group is better than any other group because of their skin color, their ancestry, their nation of birth, or anything else. All of us stand equal before God. He hath made all of us and he values all of us. We have no legitimate basis for feeling superior or inferior to any group of people. Say amen to that, right? Number 2, we are all created in the image of God. Amen. Not only did God make all of us, but he made all of us in his image. The person that we judge, discriminate against, or look down upon is just as much as made in God's image as we are. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Though we would not say it out loud, the implications of racism and prejudice is that God made a mistake with some group of people, and that we know better than he does. This is wrong. Number three, God is no respecter of person. Every one of us stand before God as equal in his eyes. He knows all about our differences because he has made us. But none of those differences affect our value of worth. Whatever your race, whatever your wealth, whatever your profession, whatever your social standing or anything else, he sees who we really are. People may treat others differently here on earth because of those differences, but God does not. And since he does not, and he is not a respecter of persons, neither should we. Romans chapter 2, verse 11, for there is no respecter of persons with God. James 2, 1, my brethren, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respecter of persons? With one of the ugliest aspects of the sin of racism is that disrespect people for elements of God's special creation in their lives over which they have no control, their ancestry or their physical features. Jackie Robinson said, I'm not concerned with your liking or disliking of me. All I ask is that you respect me as a human being. And we know that he broke the color barrier in a Major League Baseball when he took the field for the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1947. And he suffered a great deal of abuse and vocal opposition. And he continued to pursue his profession regardless of what people said about him. No one should be able to look at Christianity honestly and say that they have disrespect for others for their skin color, their background, wealth, or social status. It still goes on today. And unfortunately, it still goes on in many churches today, many Christians today. And I'm ashamed to say it still goes on in independent fundamental Baptist churches. I could give you stories. It's just crazy. Number four. Man, we might even get out early today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Number four, we are commanded to love our neighbor. Commanded, not optional, right? Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. As an answer to the question about the biblical command to love our neighbor as ourself. And the Pharisee asked, the lawyer asked Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 29, well, who is my neighbor? See, the Pharisees had a category for everybody, right? You know, we're commanded by the law to love our neighbor, but who is my neighbor? So Jesus in the parable gives him the parable of the Good Samaritan. The wounded man by the side of the road had already had a priest and a Levite pass by without helping. That tells you how far religion will get you, right? But the despised Samaritan was willing to take the risk and stop and help the stranger. He didn't ask what the man thought of his people. He just helped. He just entered into his need. James chapter 2, verse 8 says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. The key to loving our neighbor is not who they are, but who we are in Christ. Isn't that something? When they came to Jesus and they said, Tell us which is the greatest commandment. What did he say? He told them what it was. It was one commandment with two parts. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. That's the true test of anybody that fulfills the law, or we'd call it the golden rule. I know there's many variations of that, but really that's what it is. If we would just love others as we love ourselves, I don't think we'd have a whole lot of problems today, would we? Number five, We have the privilege to bear one another's burdens. We might not always understand what people from another culture or background have experienced, and we may not always feel understood. It's wise for all Christians to recognize their limited experience and listen to understand. But even if we don't fully understand, we can care. We can show kindness to others in response to the grace God has bestowed upon us. It is difficult to fully understand what people from another race or culture may have experienced. There are times when all of us feel that others do not understand our lives, but we would not have to fully understand to care. We show kindness to others in response to the grace God has bestowed upon us. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We must show love, even if in spite we don't understand. Now, I know there's a fine line between helping somebody or somebody using you. I'm just talking. This is shoe leather stuff here. This is where the rubber meets the road. But I think that we should have boundaries to a certain degree. We need to love everybody. And I told the men in our class this morning that you guys, most of you have heard me say this from the pulpit, that, you know, we'll do everything in our power to help you. See, that's the key thing, in our power. Because there's some things that we cannot do, okay? I mean, sometimes people and those hurting and they have put their, because of the choices they made and because of the lifestyle choices they made, they're in a bad way, amen? Not that we don't care, not that we don't love them, but sometimes we can't fix that. Sometimes when you do help, you might be more enabling them, okay? Right. All right? But if there's something we can do, we should do, and we should help, amen? I think one of the times that this church, through their benevolency, helped some people, it was a Middle Eastern woman, and she had two girls, and she was trying to get to Seattle, couldn't even speak English. So now they got the apps on the phone to where...
Translation.
Yeah, we sat at the table there, and I communicated with her outside of the door that, yes, through her translator thing, she would speak into it and it would type it out. Then I would speak into it and it would translate for her. She needed gas to get to Seattle to her family. I said, I cannot do anything right now, but if you want to wait till after the service, and she did. She couldn't understand anything we were saying. She sat in the car, then came in, and it was hot, it was summer. I said, go get the children, bring them in here. And everybody loved them and gave them water and refreshments, and you know what I mean? But the point is, you know, I gave her the gospel the best I could and prayed with her the best I could, and we did help her to get to where she needed to go, but we were limited, okay? See, the problem is it goes back to that saying, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. But that's not a blank check. Yeah. Okay?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's not a blank check. So I'm just saying, I want everybody in this church to have a loving spirit and a loving heart, but be careful. You know what I'm saying? Amen. He knows what I'm saying. Amen. Because people, that's why it's hard for me to answer. If you ever call our church phone from another number, and I don't answer, it goes to voicemail, there's a reason for that. Because once, sometimes people get me on the phone, and sometimes it's a hustle, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to say no.
Yeah.
Okay? It's hard for me to say no.
And they know
but,
that.
Huh?
And they know that. That's why they're calling the church.
Some people are very good at it. Yeah. Very good. But most of the time we say, if you need gasoline, I'll go to the gas station with you. We'll fill you up. You need food, we'll go to the grocery store. A lot of people, they'll bow out then. They'll say, ah. Anyhow. But we now got to have compassion. You know, that's what Jude says. And some having compassion, what? Making a difference. Amen. My pastor used to say this. He said, and the original author's unknown, but when I seen it in the book, I reminded me of my pastor, Tom Campbell in Texas. He says, compassion is your hurt in my heart. Isn't that good? That's compassion. That's true empathy. If we care about others, we'll listen to understand and bear each one another's burdens, even if we do not have the same experience or understanding. Number six, God desires all to be saved. That's why he sends us all. That's right, Brother O'Brien, that's why missions is important, right? Acts 1:8, but you shall receive dunamis, dynamite, right? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. Really, somebody that needs help, somebody that isn't, you know, different from us, whatever that might be, really the bottom need in their life is Jesus Christ. Right. And he can help them. He can fix it. Amen. And if that means that we help them monetarily, a one-time thing or what have you, and we're able to give them a gospel, remember this. Me and Tina were talking about this the other day. Isn't it crazy? Wherever you go, we got a tip.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, man, I thought this was fast food, man. You're flipping that thing and asking for a tip. You know, It's just crazy. I mean, we're tipping for everything. I mean, I got a tip to have my tires changed. I don't know. It's just crazy, right? Remember this, carry some gospel tracts with you. Amen. I mean, I go to a car wash. It says tips. It says always appreciated, never expected, you know. Well, you're saying it. You're asking for it. But I always give them a tip because I appreciate them. I like going to that place. But I always give the gospel tract. You say, well, brother, they just put it there with the pile of the other one. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Amen. I want to make sure that I give it to them again. That's the, you want my tip, you want my extra, then read the back of that. That'll change your life. It did for me 30 years ago. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Everybody deserves to be saved. D.L. Moody said this, the voice of sin is loud, but the voice of forgiveness is louder. Lastly, number seven, we are all brothers through Christ. Amen. Remember Galatians 3:28, for there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verses 11 through 14 will be our concluding scripture this morning. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew. Anytime you see Greek, Gentile, that means Jews, God's people. Amen. And Greek, Gentile, it's everybody else. Circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore the as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave ye, so also do you. And above all things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. Our response to issues like racism must not be determined by what is popular in society or what other people may think, but what God directs. The world's answer to racism often stirs up hatred. Sometimes it is a message of returning hatred for hatred. The ultimate answer to racism, however, is the gospel and its resulting transformation. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, Father, we thank you so much for your word. thank you for your people. Lord, as we are bombarded by media and others trying to drive and force their opinion of racism into our hearts and minds, Lord, help us to get back to the book. Help us to be rooted and grounded in solid doctrine in the Word of God. Lord, thank you so much for the gospel, the good news that's changed our lives. Help us, Lord, to show others how they might be saved. And Lord, help us to be the missionary. Lord, help us to be the evangelist. Lord, guide us and direct us during this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.